Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. This is a day that the Lord has made. This is a day that anything is possible. This is a day, regardless of what you're going through, my God is more than enough. We've got on the phone with us today, Brother Bjork. We'll get to him in just a second for the science department. But right now, got a couple of quick announcements. Man Up went great last night. That was awesome. And so we'll share a little bit more about that at 7:30, about all that God did there at Man Up last night. And then we've got Coffee with Jesus coming up tomorrow. That's at 4 o'clock p.m. at Mount Zion over there in Westview. It's going to be good stuff. Amen. And so if you're a lady, you need to make plans to come out tomorrow again to Mount Zion in Westview, Kentucky, at Mount Zion. And so very excited for that. And then, of course, next Thursday, National Day of Prayer stuff's going on all over the place. We'll keep you updated on that and get you all the information as soon as possible we can. All righty, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. What a day the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible. It's the day that He'll take your situation and He'll turn it around for His glory. Hallelujah. Well, we got in the studio with us. We got Miss Hannah. How are you doing, Hannah?
I'm doing good.
And we got Mr. Gerald. How are you doing, Brother Gerald?
Doing great, brother.
And none other, last but not least, for sure, Brother Dennis Ramsey. How are you, Brother Denny?
Hey, I'm doing good today.
Doing good today, huh? That's good stuff. Well, I see that your tree...
Can he not hear that?
And so the tree is, the tree house is coming along.
Oh, yes, it's coming along. It's slow, but it's coming along.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
it's like that one commercial, can you hear me now? What about
Amen.
Now?
We can hear you now.
And so, all righty, let's see here. It was supposed to break. They're hearing stuff that we're not hearing. And so that's called the... commercial from heaven. That's called the spot that the Lord wanted he just wanted you to hear that music. And so nothing happens by accident, I believe. So something was, you were supposed to receive something in that music that you was hearing that nobody else did. So your treehouse is coming along. Brother Gerald said that his building's coming along. So y'all just a couple building machines, ain't you?
Well, I'm not too fast, so it's taking me a while.
Well, Amen. Not all machines are fast, and you've taught me it's not about being right. It's not about building it fast. It's just looking finished at the end of the day.
I had Brother Jason over to help me a couple of times, and he was over Monday. And I said, "Now, Jason, it don't have to look right. It don't have to be right. It just has to look right."
That's so, right. That's the number one. We always joke about that, but there's some things you can do that on.
You can.
Then there's some things you can't do it on.
Right.
Like, for instance, if it's your structural support for your house or a low-bearing wall, it probably needs to be built
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
If it's a cabinet, you can get off a little bit, but you can rescue yourself with a trim or you can rescue yourself with something else. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah, put your shim under it.
That's right. Who do you think was the first one that created a shim?
I don't know.
What was the thought pattern? Like, okay, this is really bad. Somebody grab that stick over there. We're going to lift it up. Keep it held up. And so it's the same person that decided the first time ever, I'm going to drink milk. And I'm just kind of like, who would think that on a cow? Like, I just drink milk. And so, but, you know, I have some questions when I get to heaven that I'm going to ask. A few things. For once, Lord, in your sovereignty, why did you create ties? Why did you allow ties and bow ties to be created? I just don't understand.
Amen. Amen.
We would have been fine without them, I think.
Amen.
And probably, why did you allow green food? Like, why wasn't bacon the choice of healthiness? And why was salad and what I call rabbit food the choice of healthiness?
Right.
So I have some pretty big questions.
Yeah. Well, I'm by ties like women are shoes. And I don't wear them now, but I have to wear something different. But I had over 100 ties at one time.
Yep.
Wow. Over 100.
I think they look really nice. They're just a little hard to.
The reason I like to wear them, I mean, you can take a shirt of one color and things of kind of different colors and take a tie and blend it all together.
Now I thought you was going to say it covers the barbecue sauce. Now, if you say that, I'll get behind that right there.
Well, But you can take a tie and blend everything in together. And where, if you take it off, it don't look like it goes together. But take that tie, put it on there.
Puts together.
Looks really good.
Well, I guess the Lord knows what he does.
He does.
Dwayne Kidd said, "I'm sure it was Shem while building the ark."
Yeah, that's what I thought about too. Whenever you asked that question,
I love it.
But one thing about it. Oh, if you had to wear a tie to be a preacher, I'll never be a preacher. So.
Well, I always joke about it. I don't mind to wear ties. It's just suits are so expensive. I had a new suit. I bought a new suit. Actually, when I did Hannah and Ethan's wedding, I bought a new suit, and my dog chewed up the jacket not too long ago. And so just chewed it up. And I said, "You rascal." All right. It was, I really liked that suit. I liked the way it fit, and I was comfortable with that suit, but the dog chewed it up.
I mentioned last night in my teaching that you can put a three-piece suit on a hog, and it's still a hog.
That's right.
The reason for that, what my point was.
Are you calling preachers hogs?
Well, have to be. It's anybody. You have to be changed on the inside.
Right.
The inside has to be changed. That's why I preached last night, take out the old and put in the new.
Amen.
And so you can put a three-piece suit on a hog, and as soon as he goes out the door, he's gone to the mud hole.
Amen.
Amen. Dirty, but you change him by inside.
That's right.
You get changed on the inside, you'll do things different.
Look
on
at
the
you
outside.
Preaching already.
Oh, amen. Well, yeah. Amen.
You don't even have a tie on. You're preaching.
You got to be instant in season, out of season. You
know? That's right.
So you got to be ready.
Amen. He come fired up this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Come fired up.
What y'all ready to give an answer to every man that asks of you, and the reason of the hope that's in you is meekness and fear.
Yes, sir.
Look at him go.
And right now, I have both.
Did you eat your Wheaties this morning?
No, I didn't.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
We got an answer for the first trivia question. Brother Dwayne Kidd got it right. Who did Paul advise that a bishop must be able to control his own children? It was Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, 4 through 5. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Could have read that one yesterday.
That's right. We could have.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Brother Gerald brought some statistics in on fatherlessness homes. And I was trying to read through some of them during the break, but I didn't get very far. Mm-hmm. So, 80 Texas Department of Corrections, one of the statistics were 85% of youth who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherlessness home.
Yeah.
That's 7 out of every 10 youth that are housed in state-operated correctional facilities, including detention and residential treatments, come from a fatherlessness home.
Yes.
That's from the U.S. Department of Justice.
Right.
39% of students in the United States from the first grade to their senior year of high school do not have a father at home.
Right.
Children without a father are 4 times more likely to be living in poverty than children with a father. That comes from the NPR.
Yes.
Children from fatherlessness homes are twice as likely to drop out from school before graduating than children who have a father in their life. You could go on and on. We've read a lot of these statistics too, and here's the thing about what it is it's the Lord created the family in a perfect way.
Yes.
The enemy breaks that.
Yes.
Here's the thing that I'm glad Brother Gerald brought this statistic in, because it's always worth reminding ourselves where we're at.
Amen.
Here's the thing I don't want statistics to do. Forget that each one of those is a soul that's broken, that's missing their dad.
Exactly, exactly.
And sometimes we just read numbers, and they become numbers.
Yeah.
But each of those is a kid.
Yes.
That has hurt, has wounds.
Yes.
And they're waiting.
Yes.
On people just like us.
Yes.
Average Joes that don't talk eloquently or say the right words at the right time always, but we're available to love. We're available to love on kids and children and be there for them and be dads when they have no dads. And, you know, sometimes that don't stop when they're young.
No.
We always associate that with the younger people. And I know I'm going to show up and let you all talk. But sometimes we forget that the older ones that are, you know, 18, 19, 25, even 30, they didn't have a dad. And they still need a dad.
Well, that's the thing. You know, they're the end result of not having a dad, 18, 20, 25, 30 years old. I mean, they're emotional wrecked, a lot of them,
And it's not always, and it's no fault to their own. It's not, the enemy, like, here's what happens. The enemy overplays his hand all the time. And so he made an attack on the Judeo-Christian family values that we founded on as America. Mm-hmm. And in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when Alice Bailey wrote her 10-point plan to destroy the Christian values of the United States of America, because if she can destroy those values, she destroys culture. Mm-hmm. And one of the main staples of destroying the culture of a Judeo-Christian value is you've got to push the nuke button on the nuclear family, which is the father, the mother, and the children.
Yes.
And the dog and the picket fence and the two-story house kind of deal. Right. But you want to – the enemy hates that. Why? Because the church is shadowed after the family, and the marriage and the family is shadowed after our relationship with Christ.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so you start to Amen. Mess with that shadows of the covenant. Mm-hmm. Now you have a foothold, and people start to have a hard time reconciling themselves back to the Father because they don't even know how to treat him as Father because they don't know what a Father's like.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And so it's that Father wound that produces this standoffishness from the real Father mm-hmm. because they only associate the Father with their lack of fathering or a poor Father.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the enemy really did overplay his hand because now what I see is a group of men and a group of women on the earth that says enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to flip this tide mm-hmm. and we're going to be there.
We're way overdue.
Yeah, the enemy knew that he could affect families. He could affect the parent-child relationship and marriages by doing that. Mm-hmm. Because now we're having perverted views of marriage that aren't right, that are broken. Mm-hmm. And then dividing men and women, dividing the marriage relationship. And I was talking to Dakota Hiddle during the Share-a-thon. He mm-hmm. was in here with us. And we were talking about how, you know, we don't know if it's just our county or if it's, we're pretty sure it's not just our county. But he was talking about how, you know, our age, I think he's maybe 22, I'm mm-hmm. 23. And he was talking about how our age, like growing up, like, it's very rare to find around here in our age group people who want to preach and people who want to serve.
Right.
Like, it's like we feel like we're the only ones. And I know that we're not. There's some scattered across the nation. But in our county, it just sometimes feels like, you know, we've talked to most people. And that doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that the Lord's placed gifts in them and abilities. But I believe it's a lot of this hurt, a lot of the broken families,
Amen.
A lot of all of this that, you know, people that didn't have dads and didn't have a good view and of a you know, their mom and dad of a marriage, and so that is what's kind of preventing them from stepping into this. And I just remembered that just came to my memory, and I was talking with my husband last night about how the enemy is attacking men in general. Like, it's not it is a fathers, it's husbands, but he's attacking men in general because he knows the way that the Lord designed, you know,
Amen.
The home.
Exactly.
He knows the way the Lord designed, you know, leadership.
Amen.
But where are we? Like, we're in a place where, and I was talking with him, I was like, if everything was right in the homes right now in the world, if everything was right even in churches behind the pulpit, then the world wouldn't be in the condition that it is right now.
Amen. Yeah.
Because honestly, when the world is darker, the church hasn't been burning brighter. And that's what we were talking about. And he was like, we were like, yeah, like it, because he was like, well, let's like look at statistics. Let's see if, you know, it really is that bad. And then it's funny that you bring in these statistics this
really?
Morning.
It's that bad.
Because that bad. What I told him, I was like, well, I mean, what I'm seeing here that I feel like the Lord is showing me is, I mean, if the more that the world is getting darker and more evil, that we don't really even need statistics. We can just see that the church isn't doing,
Amen.
The church isn't functioning. I'm not
Amen.
Blaming people, but it's obvious that the church Amen. Isn't as healthy as we should be
no.
if the world is so unhealthy. Because when the church grows and gets healthier, mm-hmm. the world will get healthier.
Right.
Not that there won't still be evil. There's always going to be evil.
And it's going to get worse and worse until Jesus comes back and puts a stop to it.
Yes.
I mean, 2 Timothy 3:13 says, in the last days, verse 1, in the last days, and this is the final.
Mm-hmm.
It says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually, you know, even after like World War II, things calmed down. People, the soldiers come home, went to work, and they was working, trying to build things up. And really, I'm 76. 65 years ago, people talked about God, I mean, out in public, and, you know, God was on their mind. And as far as cursing, somebody curse in front of my mom, my dad would make sure that he do not curse in front of my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And but now you'd have to whip the whole world. I mean, it's not quite that bad. But I mean, they curse anywhere, anytime, and say anything. The worst thing that they can think of, mm-hmm. say it. You know, and how have the mighty fallen? The United States, and just like that one that Brother Aaron was talking about, that woman signed that to destroy the family.
Mm-hmm.
One person, we let her get away with. So Christians won't rise up and fight like mm-hmm. we need to. I mean, not necessarily. I'm not talking about fist fighting, but fight for the laws that are on the books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it used to be a crime for vulgarity in public. I mean, it used to be a crime. They could write you a ticket or take you to jail or whatever. But mm-hmm. now, I mean, they're doing it on TV, you know.
So. Yeah, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't, I think Jacob Swift normally says this, the enemy normally doesn't come barging in the front door.
No.
He usually sneaks somewhere in the back, somewhere
exactly.
in a side door or a window or
exactly.
something. So it's not always obvious when these things are happening. It's almost like there's been a generation of the church who's been asleep, and it's
exactly.
like while we're asleep, that's
You're
when
exactly
things
right.
start slipping in and slipping
yeah.
in.
You're yeah. preaching good.
And it is, we can see in Scripture that it's definitely going to get worse. We got a lot of bad
exactly.
things going to hit the earth.
Yes.
But that never diminishes the light of the body of Christ, because
mm-hmm.
we have the light of the world in us and living through us. And while the world is getting darker and worse, there is a great move of the Spirit that's
Absolutely.
Happening.
Absolutely.
Because
Absolutely.
In the last days I will pour out my Spirit
Absolutely.
On all flesh.
Yeah.
And then you put Malachi 4 in there, which is basically saying, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons
yeah.
and the sons to the father.
Yeah.
I'm bringing
ready.
Them together.
I'm ready for that. I think we're seeing the beginnings of that right
Hallelujah.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
I do. So as the world gets darker, the church is going to get brighter.
Yes,
and he
yes.
will still show himself strong in the earth. And even in the midst of tribulation, the body will be operating. The body will be
yes.
fully functioning. The body,
yeah.
I mean, we're, you know, we may not be here for the great tribulation, but we're here.
We're
going to walk through some stuff.
Right.
And
we're
we are walking through
stuff.
And
Amen.
Sometimes in our weakness, he is what? Made
strong.
Strong.
Yes.
And
yeah.
so I think that all that mm-hmm. is operating together. Mm-hmm. And I am not going to, as the body of Christ, we are not called to, and I refuse to just a few more weary days and I'm going up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dragging through. I'm going to go marching through, because yeah. my Jesus is victorious and he has made us victorious. And if he's overcome the world, we will overcome the world.
Amen.
And so
I think that's why we're in the state we are, is because there's been, you know, Christians that have just chosen
yeah.
to sit down and
yep.
let it happen. And
yeah. Now, I'm not saying we're never going to suffer. I'm not saying we're never
right.
going to go through stuff.
Right.
It's just how we suffer is different from somebody that don't have Jesus.
Exactly.
How we walk through situations is different than somebody that don't have Jesus.
Right.
Because we go through the fire, we don't get caught in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm always stirred when we talk about this, because I see the we both like to talk on the Book of Revelation. I like it. I like to teach on it. I like to think about eschatology. Not because I'm trying to figure out when he comes. Because when I see that, I'm not just seeing about his coming. I see about his establishing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is his kingdom is going to be established forevermore. There will never be a stop. There will never be a halt. And if you're an unbeliever, Revelation should terrify you.
Absolutely.
If you're a believer, it should make an anticipation rise in you, because the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus. And so we're going to be caught away. We're going to be with him. We'll be coming riding on the horses behind him. It's going to be a time and a half for believers. But for unbelievers,
mm-hmm.
you should tremble.
Oh, absolutely.
And today is the
absolutely.
Day of salvation.
Be
and
terrified.
We all say this.
Right.
Don't wait till the door of the ark to shut. Is
right.
shut until you say, Asha got on.
Right.
Now is the day of salvation. Now
Amen.
Is the day. Confess
yeah.
with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that you shall be saved. And the Bible says you shall be saved.
Well, when the door of the ark got shut, God shut it, no man can open it.
That's right.
And when God opens it, no man can shut it. Mm-hmm. So we need to take advantage of the open door.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
For sure. For sure. Amen. And the book of Revelation, actually, it doesn't give you a time frame of the end of the world. It just tells you what's going to happen within that time frame. So Jesus, he gave the time frame in Luke 21, verse 24. He said when Jerusalem, the Jews regained complete control of the city of Jerusalem, he said the generation that sees that take place will not die before the end of the world. So it's not going to last another 100 years. You know, we're living within that final time frame because they regained control in 1967. And if you look up at Jesus said, when you see this take place, this generation shall not pass. The people that are alive and see it are not going to die before the end comes. I mean, Jesus is the one that made the statement. So, you know, we know the Bible is true and all of the Bible is true. But I just kind of like the fact that Jesus is the one that made that statement. The Son of God himself said, when you see this event take place, the world is coming to an end before everybody dies. Everybody that sees that are not going to die. Now, of course, millions have seen it and died. But there's millions that are still alive. But everybody that's seen it is not going to die before the end of the world. Yeah. So we're living within that time frame. And now that's why the book of Revelation is so prevalent, because what we see starting already is going to get worse and worse. I mean, it's not going to be a turnaround like World War II after they made peace of what was in 1945. So what, 75 years? Well, they had a certain amount of peace for a long time. But now all over the world, it's just going to get worse and worse. And even 10 years ago, in our mind in America, could we imagine flash mobs going in and just looting stores and getting away with it? 10 years ago, could we even think like that? Well, the military, the police, somebody will put a stop to it, put all of them in jail and leave them there until they decide that they don't want to do that kind of stuff. And if the others seen what happened to them, they won't try it. But they're getting away with it, so it's getting worse and worse. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be at a break here. We got our second trivia question for the morning, which all this is getting you in for a $20 gift card to the Storehouse Coffee Shop. Thankful for that donation.
Come on, Ethan.
Ethan, you better be calling. You better be getting your wife a Storehouse Coffee Shop gift card. What king burned the idolatrous chariots of the sun? What king burned the idolatrous chariots of the sun? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. All righty, we are back here in the studio after that break. What a day. What a day. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Last night at Man Up Ministries, it was a great night. Brother Chad, testimony was really solid. The worship team was great. And the barbecue was on point. I may or may not ate 2 pieces of cake and a brownie cake and drink a lot of sweet tea. But it was still good. Great fellowship. Just awesome time in the presence of the Lord. And so the next one is May the 25th at Cross Point. It'll be 6:30 p.m. there too. So just go ahead and get that on your calendars. Don't forget Coffee with Jesus tomorrow, 4:00 in the morning.
Amen.
It says Coffee with Jesus. I thought that was
4
it.
4 p.m.
4 p.m. in the afternoon at Westview Mount Zion Church over there. That's going to be a great time in the presence of the Lord for a group of ladies there.
Amen.
So again, 4:00 p.m. Mount Zion over there in Westview, Kentucky. 4:00 p.m. Not a.m. I was just jesting. I like to say jesting instead of joking. It just sounds different.
Right.
And so I'm excited to hear the testimonies of all that God does tomorrow. And then, of course, if you have no church to go to, we would love to see you here at Bethel Fellowship. But if you have a local church to go to, you need to go there and just say, hey, pastor, how can I serve this week? What can I do? And you say, well, Aaron, what's that for? Well, nobody's exempt from service. Everybody's serving the Lord. Now, it may not be your cleaning toilets, may not be your preaching or on the worship team, but it could be, hey, I know this person that's just hurting. Do you care to give them a call? Or I know a family that's going through a situation right now. Would you care to fix a dish for them on a Tuesday night dinner or something like that? Mm-hmm. Pastors usually have a little bit of insight, or they know how to get you to somebody with insight. And so nobody's exempt from serving. Amen. We should all be service to the Lord. Amen. Whoever gets there at 4 a.m., they can lead the service at that time, Miss Mary says. So if you get there at 4 a.m., you get to preach, you get to lead, you get to sing, you get to do it all. And, you know, it's the floor will be wide open at 4 a.m. Okay. It's kind of like that story, too, but just make sure you don't split your own church. It's like that story Roger tells. This guy is shipwrecked, and he's on an island, and he gets rescued, and when they rescue him, they see that he has several different buildings. And he starts walking through the buildings he has, and he says, that building's that, and that building's that, and that was my house, and that was the other house I built. And finally, they get to these two buildings over there. He says, what's that? He said, well, that's my church. And he said, well, what's that other building? He said, well, that's my old church until I left it. And he's on an island by himself. So I thought, well, that's great. I love that. Now, there is a difference between God calling you and moving you somewhere else. But it's important. Let me just say this. You say, Aaron, you're a pastor, and you always hark on this stuff. I hark on it because I think it's very important. Amen. I think it's very important for you to have a local body. Amen. That you're assembled with and Amen. That you're knitted with. It's not for pride. It's not to nope. mark something off your religious checklist. Nope. It's because it's family. And they got your back, and you have their back. And if you isolate yourself, like, let me just tell you something. I would love to do video one day. Not because I want my face on there, because, well, I'm actually not excited. I may have to fix my hair. But I would love to have that access. But I don't ever think video replaces the service. I don't think a live stream, sitting in your pajamas, watching it on Sunday morning, can ever replace actually being with the body.
Amen.
You can't. And this is ridiculous to me. I mean, I'm cool with VR. I'm cool with Meta stuff. Like, if you want to do it, that's cool. But now we have Meta Church, to where you just put your little VR set on and you walk into the sanctuary, you sit down, you can see other people in the metaverse, you can look at them, you can high five them and all that. And then now they're doing metaverse baptisms. So where you get baptized in virtual reality at your church, that's a virtual reality church. And the pastor stands up there and preaches, and it's crazy. Like, if you want to do that after church, that's cool. But that's not replacing church.
Amen.
It says assembly. Do not forsake the assembly together, Amen. For in it we meet together and we provoke one another to good works.
Amen.
All right? And I think the reason people like live streams and VR stuff is it takes accountability out of the picture. It takes anything out of the picture.
Exactly.
I don't have to dress up. I don't have to brush my teeth. I don't have to get out of my jammies. I can throw the popcorn in the microwave and pop it while the pastor's preaching. Mm-hmm. And now I can get baptized by virtual reality stuff. I never have to go to church. This is great. But it's not great.
No.
Because your soul will suffer.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have the body.
You'll have no discernment, for sure. And the Bible says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The end of the world, that day is approaching. And if you're alive to God, the Holy Spirit has made it real to you. In your heart, you know it's so. And we need to be doing everything that we can do to win people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the bigger the group, the more you can do together. I mean, it's an island, one person can't do a whole lot. Now, I feel like the Lord gave me responsibility to open a youth center in Forestville. But do I think for a second that I can handle it by myself? Lord, no, I don't. And any and all that want to come and help, amen. I'll be happy to see you. And we're going to win young people to Jesus. But, you know, I can't do it. I'll do what I can do, but I mean, the Holy Spirit's got to do the saving and the drawing and the convicting and all that and the blessing. But I'm expecting that. I mean, I have that. You know, I testified that a year and a half ago. I said, God, if you want me to start a youth center, you're going to have to give me a building. I don't have the money for the rent, and I don't have the money to buy a building. But if you want me to start a youth center, you give me a building. And God has given me a building.
Amen.
Now, I used this illustration with Lazarus on this building. When Lazarus died, and Jesus went to the grave site. He told them to roll the stone away. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. But Jesus told the ones that's with him, loose him and let him go. Take the grave clothes off. Well, this building needed some work. And I said, man, Lord, that's a lot of grave clothes. But that's all right. He did what I couldn't do. I couldn't buy the building. But he's given me a building, and it's rent-free. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a nice building. And probably within a month, we'll be real close to opening. Brother Denny asked me this morning, did I have a date set when we was going to open? And I said, no, I'm kind of like Jesus on that one. He said, no man knows the day or the hour but my Father only. And my Father in heaven is the only one that really knows the date, but we're going to open, so praise the Lord.
Yeah, I began to strain my mind to try to figure out what kind of verse he was talking about when he said, what did you say?
No man knows the day.
No man knows the hour, yeah.
Day and the hour?
Yeah. So I was, but before then, we was talking about it, and he said, nobody knows, so I was trying to think of some scripture to go along with that, but... He said, God only knows, so
God only knows.
God knows.
Amen. Amen.
I want to share with you a little bit in Luke 17. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all been talking about different things that, right. You know, Jesus talked about how things are going to be in the end days.
Yes, he did.
He said he's going to be marrying and giving in marriage.
Absolutely.
And things are going to be going on.
Yes.
And so people are not going to be looking around like in the day when the... When Noah was building the ark and it started raining, nobody's paying much attention. They're
right,
just driving on
right.
by.
Amen.
Until one day when the ark began to lift off the ground.
Oh, yes.
And then they began to get serious about themselves, and they said, you know, Noah, let us in, you know. But
right.
God shut the door. But I was reading Luke one day, and it got down to verse chapter 17, verse 32. There are three words there. And I said to myself, now, I know God doesn't do anything wrong. But I said, those three words, just in my mind, I said, those three words look out of place. But they were not. They were so in place, it just overwhelmed me.
Right.
The verse says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
Before that, they were eating and drinking and
yes,
giving in
yes.
marriage, and everything was going on
yes.
just like it, you know, like nothing was happening. Then all of a sudden, the ark rose off the ground. Right. All of a sudden, God said, remember Lot's wife.
Yes.
Those verses shook yes. me to the core when I saw that.
Amen.
And they do
Amen.
Still. When I read that, I see that. I think, my goodness.
Amen.
Don't people see and understand what's going on?
Yes. I mean, they don't. And here's some scripture in Isaiah 22, verse 12, 13, 14. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. He's calling the world to repentance right now. And listen to this. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And how many are doing just like you're talking about Lot's wife and what they were doing? Verse 14, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord God. There, so many of them are not going to repent. But, I mean, there's going to be a lot of them repent. We know the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out,
yeah.
and a lot of them will. But that eating flesh, drinking wine, party time, party time, party time.
Yeah.
But to come today, it's going to be over, just like.
It's when the handwriting came in through the wall. And it,
absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, and the king began to shake.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's going to be a time, but God now is allowing us an opportunity to get your heart right with him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Before the ark takes off.
Yes, sir, brother.
And
yes,
so we need to redeem the time, the Bible said in Ephesians, I think it is, 3,
mm-hmm.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so we certainly need to realize that.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Praise
the Lord. Yep, amen. And it's not just about taking a megaphone to the street corner.
No.
This is done by prayer. This is done by fasting. This is done by preaching truth. Mm-hmm. This is done by serving and walking in the Spirit, having discernment. Mm-hmm. And this is done with, staying faithful to Christ in all things.
Amen.
And we are pushing back the onslaughts of evil. And does that mean evil don't exist? No, but that means over my house, it's not.
Amen.
That means over my family, it's
Amen.
Not.
Amen.
That means over those who I have influence or those who I have a relationship with, I'm going to do everything in my power to push back the onslaught
Amen.
Of evil.
Amen.
And we always must remember this. We always must remember this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Amen. But against principalities and spiritual things in high places. That's our fight.
Amen.
And if we take our fight against people, we're gonna fight, but it's gonna be a losing battle, or it's gonna be a battle that's not productive.
Right.
Because once we take the sword out of Goliath's head and cut his own head off, because the very thing the enemy thought he's killing you with is really gonna be the fuel to drive you in a whole new source of fire. And I love that, because even whenever you hear testimony sometimes, the very thing the enemy thought that he was killing that person with is the very thing that person's been being put in to actually deliver and sanctify and set free those around him. For instance, last night, the guy who's given his testimony, he had a big testimony of drugs and being in rehab and all this, and then he now runs a rehab. Now he's the
Amen.
One. He's
Amen.
The one seeing guys set free and delivered and the love of Christ being poured out. So what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for his good. And now this guy who was once in need of a rehab is owning a rehab and running forth with the power of God, and they're expanding every day.
Is he from Owensboro?
He's from Morgantown.
Morgantown. Okay.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I love that.
Yeah. But I love that statement that you made, that over your house, he's not going to do it. Revelation 1:6, and he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. You're a king. You rule over your house.
Could you tell my wife that? Sorry. I cracked the wrong jokes at the wrong time.
She might crown you there, Aaron.
Amen. She might crown
him. She might crown him.
Amen.
I'm sorry. You're preaching good. You're preaching good.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right in your statement that in your house, it's going to be ruled by the Lord. And God gave you that responsibility.
That's
so,
right.
You're going to be the leader there. And that's, I love that verse right there, kings and priests. Yep. We minister to the Lord and to our family.
Yeah.
And
leading is not control. Leading is influence and protection and guidance.
Amen.
And that's how we lead our household.
Amen.
Men, you are called to be on the wall as watchmen, and you are to sit at the gate. And nothing gets through on your watch.
Right.
You say, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. That depression's not welcome here. That anxiety's not welcome here. Those lusts is not welcome here. Dissension,
Amen.
Division, hostility, that's not welcome here. We're going to have a place of shalom, of peace,
Amen.
Of rest, of love, of nurturing, of maturity. We're going to have a house that's operating in the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Men, this is what you should be praying and declaring you're over your Amen. Home. And you are the watchman. You're the gate.
Amen.
And if
Amen.
Something's in your house, you let it in. And I'm not saying that, like, you may not, like, you may think, well, Aaron, that's not fair because I can't control everything my kids see on their cell phone or not. I get that part. Like, I really do understand that part. Mm-hmm. We've had things show up on cell phones that we never dreamed of, and it wasn't even their fault. Stuff just popped up.
Right.
What I'm
right.
saying, what kind of spirit are you letting into your house? What are Amen. You willing to wage war against?
Amen.
It's not that the weapon's never formed. It's the weapon won't prosper.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have to be on guard. We have to be discerning. We have to be diligent. We have to be protective. We lead with grace and mercy, not with a fist and chauvinism.
Amen.
And so we men of God, it's time for us to arise. There's nothing special about us.
No.
It's that we all have our roles to play. We all have our parts to play.
Right.
And
amen. And just one little thing to go along with that. If my wife is in the other room, you know, and we're trying to have a conversation, I said, baby, come in here. If we're going to talk, let's talk. I don't want to holler. I don't want to holler at my wife. You know, I just don't. And if we're going to have a conversation, let's get close enough that we can talk. Because I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm hollering at my wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't.
Yeah, and we're supposed to have that gentle spirit with one another. Yeah. And I was just thinking, I believe the enemy wants us to be fighting with our families so that we're not fighting for our families.
Exactly.
But we're supposed to be fighting for people and not against them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We fight for each other. We fight against the evil one and fight for each other. And that speaks to everybody because it's whenever we let our emotions get in the way and whenever we let pride get in the way and just everything, it's easy to get into arguments, get so distracted and caught up in fighting with each other that we ignore the enemies coming in through the back door, and we're sitting there fighting with our kids and our wives or our husbands. And I just believe that the enemy is coming against the family so hard, so it's time for us to rise up and start fighting harder than he's fighting.
But we are not ignorant against his device. We're not ignorant.
They're being exposed.
Yes.
Miss Gale said, and women, allow your men to lead. We have a huge role to play supporting them.
Yeah.
That's coming from a woman, not me.
I really don't believe any woman supports her husband much more than my wife supports me.
Mm.
Wow.
She's a great lady.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to flip the roles too much, but I was looking on Facebook because I wanted to make sure that I was getting all my dates right. Brother James Miller, who's been on with us several times on the radio and stuff, his wife is having a pretty major surgery today. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just take time out this morning to pray for that family.
Yes.
And Delisa, I think, is her name.
Yeah, let's do it.
And so I just wanted to make sure I had the dates right, that today was that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, Father, we just thank you for James and Delisa and those that are walking as a Miller family, Father. I thank you for the blessing they are. I thank you for your glory that you have over them, your anointing you have on them. And Lord, we just know you'll guide the surgeon's hand. We know that everything's going to work to the perfect thing because you work all things together for the good. And Father, we just ask you that this is prosperous. And God, just do it, that this surgery would go well, that no mistakes, no complications, Lord, and that she's going to come out of this side completely restored, completely healed. God, you supernaturally heal, but sometimes you use the surgeon's hand to heal too, Father. And sometimes you do it together. And thank you, God, for all that you're doing in that family. Lord.
Jesus,
and thank you for their faith, life God. And their anointing that you have over them. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I know, you know, I've shared the testimony a little bit about my wife a couple of weeks ago when she had her her situation with the miscarriage and all that. And the doctor showed her when she went back for her checkup that I've shared the testimony a little bit, but her tube ruptured. For some reason, they say, I know the reason. It was the hand of God. Where it was ruptured, it clotted. And it don't clot. Like, your tube just don't clot.
Right.
And usually you just bleed for days or you bleed to death, honestly. That's what they told us. Mm-hmm. So her tube clotted. It stayed clotted for 4 or 5 days, never moved. And get this. We didn't notice until the doctor told her to check up. The clot stayed intact even after the tube was moved. That clot was not, even in the midst of the surgery and all the tugging and everything, when he took the tube out, the clot was still intact.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
She saw the picture. And I was like, man, that's how my God. He don't make mistakes. That's halfway do stuff. That clot would have been there the rest of her life probably and never even moved. Because why? When my God does it, he does it right.
Does it right.
Amen.
And so we're believing God in this situation for James and Delisa and all them that God's going to do it right.
Amen.
And that this is going to stick and that there's not going to be any more. It's not coming back. It's not going to rear its ugly head again.
Amen.
We're raising up the standard and declaring God's healing and whole healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So,
amen. Yeah. Amen. It said when Jesus healed them, He made them perfectly whole.
Yeah.
King James says he made them perfectly whole.
So, that's right.
So he didn't halfway do it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Miss Mary says she prayed and was agreement with us at her home, and she felt the prayer at where she was.
Yes. Amen. Yes,
the power of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And
we sure feel it today.
Now, on Wednesdays, I want to say this, just we're on prayer. On Wednesdays, during the Share-a-thon, we talked about having times and seasons of prayer on live radio. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be an opportunity for you to text in or call in your prayer requests, and we'll get them to, we'll pray over them.
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
We started that on Wednesdays. Miss Hannah mm-hmm. and Miss Mary are together on Wednesday mornings at 9:30 to 10 a.m., and they're available for that 30 minutes of prayer.
On the air.
Yeah. On the
We're
air.
We're
going to
be doing
live.
It on the air.
Amen.
And so if you have any prayer requests and want to tune in at that time, send those in. Or you can call in, and then they'll bring us the prayer request as we're praying.
Amen.
And so we want to make that time available.
Praise
I don't
Lord.
Know.
That's great.
We don't have I don't even know if we have a name for it yet. It's just a season of prayer. And we just want to pray. And there was a lot of prayer requests come in Wednesday. And that was awesome, and just the real presence of the Lord and the sweetness of His anointing was there. And so, and of course, if you have any prayer requests throughout the week, we will definitely be praying for them. All you got to do is call the station, 270-257-2689. Mm-hmm. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you.
Amen.
We'll get you on what we call the Wall of Flames thing over there. And that's basically little carts that have the prayer requests that stay on our altars in the church that people mm-hmm. come up and they'll pray over. They'll grab those cards. They'll read through them. They'll lift your name up in prayer. They'll declare over you. And so it's God's good. God's raising up an army who loves to pray.
Yes.
And God's raising up an army with faith.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, Amen. And we've seen just the power of prayer lately. We also have prayer on Tuesdays over in the sanctuary starting at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So I'm not going to put an end on it just because it's been different every Amen. Time when we've ended. But the power of the Lord has been really strong. And
Amen.
So if anybody's free on Tuesdays at 10. Yeah.
Then, of course, we have it at 2 Saturday nights, too, at 7 for anybody mm-hmm. that wants to come out and pray with us there.
Yes.
And, you know, they all look different, too. Some Saturday nights look like this. Some Saturday nights look like that. Some Saturday nights we just, you know, love on the Lord. And some Saturday nights we're going to spiritual warfare. So it's like we're just always discerning what the Spirit of God is doing because we gather together. And we just pray mm-hmm. for the local churches. We pray for pastors. We pray for the worship teams that's going to be leading people into worship. Mm-hmm. We pray for situations. We pray for families. We pray for the ministries. We pray. Mm-hmm. And we're just hungry to pray because we're not doing this. And if we do this, mm-hmm. it's going to fail.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if you can do ministry without prayer, it's not ministry, it's entertainment.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's just no other way around it.
Amen.
Yeah.
If your church can operate without prayer, mm-hmm. it's not happening in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, these prayer meetings, they're not just little cute prayers. Like I've been a part of the cute prayers, and I've prayed the cute prayers before, but these are, you know, hungry prayers. These
right,
are
right.
these are faith-filled, spirit-filled. Right. We're humbling ourselves before the face
right.
or before the Lord on our face, so that He can come and heal our land.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We didn't get an answer for that second trivia question, so we're going to reread that one, and then we'll come back here in just a second. What king burned the idolatrous chariots of fire? 270-257-2689. I'm going to take us back to a little bit of a slow one, little hymn, 'Tis So Sweet.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we love you guys. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. Well, it is Friday, April 28th, 2023. Cannot believe it's already almost May in 2023.
Amen.
And it's going to be right around the corner. It'll be summer, and then back to fall, and then back to winter. Then we're going to have another new year.
Yeah, no.
And then it's going to get the holiday season, and I'm going to have to eat all that food. And I'm already thinking about the turkey and the gravy and mashed potatoes.
You can have my part.
I'll take your turkey.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my favorite things. There's a restaurant locally that does a buffet, and they have turkey and dressing and all that on the bar all the time. And I'm like, I love this place. Thanksgiving year round.
Amen.
The only kind of turkey that I really like is that, what is it? I think Todd makes that fried, like deep fried turkey or whatever, smoked turkey.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's how if I make turkey home, it's always deep fried. Always. I don't do any other thing. Because, well, for one, you can make a deep fried turkey in about 48, 30, 50 minutes. Like, it just don't take no time compared to the, I mean, you got to thaw it out for a few days. But you got, once you cook it, it's just pop. I mean, it's like, it's easy. And so I like it. And I haven't blown myself up or caught myself on fire yet. So that's a good thing.
You know what always tickles me before lunch, the turkey stuffed, and after lunch, we're stuffed. So it's a stuffed day.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I'm not stuffed on turkey. I'll eat ham or something else. Something about just baked turkey.
Have you had deep fried turkey?
No. And I have wanted to eat some deep fried turkey. I've heard it. It's really good.
Next time I make some, I'll save you a couple pieces.
Please do. Yep. Please do. Amen.
It's the thing about baked turkey is, I will admit, it gets a little dry.
You need to eat it when it's warm. When it's warm and still juicy, it's very good. Yeah. Very
now,
good.
When deep fried, dry, it's deep fried stays moist. But it has that crusty edge at the end. Oh, right. It's so good.
Oh,
but ham always is good.
Whoa. y'all make me want to go make a turkey.
I hadn't had breakfast yet, so I'm going to make me hungry here.
Amen.
We can have ham for breakfast.
The other day, I made everybody hungry for Hardee's.
Yeah, you can eat ham three meals a day. So
I made everybody hungry there to talk about the Old Man Club. But I decided this.
Amen.
Now, you two are getting close to the Old Man Club. You're not there yet, are you?
I am.
You are in the Old Man Club?
I'm in there.
What did you do to get in? I'm preparing
I lived
myself 76 now.
76 years. That's what I did.
Well, we went from 55 to 76, okay? I told somebody the other day, I was talking to somebody at Man Up last night. I said, you know, I used to, and even earlier this week, I said, I want to be in the Old Man's Club so I can go to Hardee's and sit there and learn all the secrets of the world. And
not me.
And all this. Well, I've changed my mind. I've repented. This is what
I'll guarantee you. If you listened to that conversation, you'd have to repent.
Well, I've changed my mind. I decided the Old Man Club that I'm going to create is an Old Man Golfers Club. And that's how we're going to spend it. Monday mornings on the golf course. And so
I'm going to be with Jesus while you're doing that.
Well, me and Gerald invented the pool club, so we like to see pool.
You're the Old Man Club.
He'll
with the
be in the Jesus Club while you're
I am. But you know, ever since I got saved, I've been wanting to go to heaven, and I'm like, I'd like to go today. I don't care if I don't, if I'm not here tomorrow. I tell everybody, I'd a whole lot rather wake up in heaven than to wake up in Deanfield. And
into what?
In Deanfield. Deanfield is the name of the community where I live.
Okay.
So why wouldn't I rather wake up in heaven than wake up in Deanfield? Mm-hmm. I mean, I ever since I got born again, man, for some reason, I just really want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I've been thinking? During 1,000 years, Gerald's going to be on the earth because I want to be where Jesus is at. I mean, y'all can have heaven. I'm going to be here on earth with Jesus.
Yeah.
When he reigns for 1,000 years, I want to be as close to him as I can get. So I'm going to be here on earth. Y'all can have heaven.
All right. So Brother Dwayne Kidd said, I'm not allowed to eat bacon in heaven. Will I be able to eat bacon on earth during the millennial?
Don't know. You just have to ask the Lord about that.
I will. I'll ask the Lord.
Yeah.
I asked the Lord a lot of funny things.
You'll have a glorified body.
I will at that point.
Yeah, you'll have a glorified body.
Not everybody will, though.
No.
Nope. There'll be those glorified and unglorified, or not glorified.
But the Bible says that there will be in the final day, the Bible says there will be few men left to go through the millennium. And there's only eight with Noah. So it really kind of makes me wonder, you know, few to the Lord might mean a whole lot more than it does to me because, it was over 7 billion people on earth, and He would love to save every one of them. Mm-hmm. And
That's his will. All men come to repentance.
All men,
We had one listener. She said, Miss Gail said, you men may have the Old Man's Club, but us women have coffee with Jesus. Fair enough.
That's pretty good.
And then Miss Nicole said, Hannah and Mary's prayer time on air could be Prayer Power Hour or War Room Warriors.
Amen.
I like it. I like it.
Both of them are good.
I like it. We're gonna
Prayer Hour Power.
I like it.
War Room. Yeah,
amen.
I like Warriors.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Wednesday Warriors.
There you go.
Wednesday Warriors.
There you go.
Warrior Wednesday.
And then I'm making sure I got all the other ones. I still sometimes have to filter. Sometimes I get text messages that's really not meant for the radio, like about a situation or my wife telling me something else. One listener said, I still think broccoli will taste like crispy bacon in heaven. If broccoli tastes like bacon, I'll eat it. And Miss Mary said, I love it. War Room Warriors.
Amen.
So we got names going now. We got names. What the?
Awesome.
We still never had our lake back there named. We try to get the listeners to name our lake back there, and we still haven't had it named. I just said, we're just going to name it Jesus Lake if nobody gets a name. Jesus Lake. Because we want to make it a possibility to we've talked about there's a little thing you can hold in as you're walking down and doing some baptisms and stuff there. So we're looking at all that. So I don't know if anybody has any good idea on naming our lake or anything, too. Because I was told not to call it a pond because lake just sounds better than pond. if you say, Brother Ramsey, you gonna go swim in the pond? Kind of makes you think you're going in the mossy thing that the cows are swimming with you in. Instead of, you want to go swim in the lake?
Yeah, well, it is beautiful back there.
That's sure what is. We swam in when I was a kid.
The pond?
In the pond. We didn't have a lake. We had a pond.
Well, we are... what's the word they use? We're progressing.
Yeah.
We're going from pond to lake.
Right, right.
Next thing we'll say, we'll have an ocean in the backyard.
Yeah, getting dignified, huh?
We get a cement pond here for too long.
Oh, right. Community swimming pool.
Amen.
As long as it's got a diving board.
Miss Mary said lake of fire, but not the bad lake of fire.
That could be interpreted either way.
Lake of good fire. Holy Spirit fire.
Holy Spirit fire. Yeah. If you don't stop, you're going to the lake of fire, young man.
Huh? Amen.
That's a good threat to my kids. I'll send you out to the lake of fire, young man. I love it. All right. Well, we got to get some serious matter going on here.
Yes.
Here we go. All right. So, Mr. Gerald.
Yes, sir.
In about 5 minutes, because I have something I want to do towards the end of the show.
Sure.
Broadcast. In about 5 minutes, can you tell me what you was talking to me? Reiterate to those, because I was following along everything you were saying. I can work and listen at the same time. And so I was tracking everything you were saying about the rabbi and the jubilees and the 50 jubileers, 50 jubilees. So, but I want you to reiterate it in just a few minutes if you can
for the listeners. I believe in 5 minutes, I believe I could do it. Yes. In the 12th century, there's a rabbi named Judah ben Samuel, and he was real close to the Lord. And you know, Amos 3:7 says, the Lord God will do nothing except he will reveal his secret to his servants and prophets. A lot of people say that there's not prophets. Well, I mean, he's not now. He's in heaven. But anyway, he prophesied that the Ottoman Turks were going to gain control of the country of Israel. And he said that they would remain for 8 jubilees. 8 times 50 is 400 years. That is to say, they were in Jerusalem 400 years. It was 300 years after his death that he prophesied that the Ottomans would be in control of Jerusalem for 400 years. He died 300 years before that took place. They conquered it in 1517, and in 1917, the British, there was war with the Turks, and the British won the war and kicked them out. So exactly 400 years after they gained control, they were kicked out. So 8 jubilees, 8 fifties. So he was exactly right on that. Then when Israel captured Jerusalem in the Six-Day War of 1967, exactly 1 jubilee, after 1917, Jerusalem reverted to the Jewish Israel ownership again, And he prophesied this now about 750 years before it took place. And the messianic end times begin. He said, but to recap the astonishing prediction, in AD 1217, the scholarly and pious rabbi prophesied that the Ottoman Turks would rule over the holy city of Jerusalem for 8 jubilees. Now keep in mind, he made this prediction 300 years before the Ottoman Turks seized control. And if indeed 1217 and 1517 were jubilee years, as Judah ben Samuel believed, then his prophecy was exactly right. He was right on, exactly right. And the rabbi also prophesied that during the 9th jubilee, Jerusalem would be no man's land. And that is exactly what happened in 1917 to 1967 due to the fact that the Holy Land was placed under British mandate in 1917 by the League of Nations and belonged to no nation. Even after Israel's War of Independence, Jerusalem was still divided by a land running right through the heart of the city of Jerusalem, with Jordan controlling the eastern part of the city and Israel controlling the western part of the city. That strip of land was considered and even called no man's land by both the Israelis and the Jordanians. And it was not until the Six-Day War of 1967 when the entire West Bank excuse me, of the Holy Land was It certainly would be significant if 1917 and 1967 were jubilee years, considering the significance of what happened in Jerusalem on those years. But it even gets more interesting because Judah ben Samuel also prophesied that during the 10th jubilee, Jerusalem would be under the control of the Jews and the messianic end times would begin. If he's right, the 10th jubilee began in 1967, and it will conclude in 2017. And all of that took place, and it's in the control. And he said that the messianic end times would begin during that time. So,
wow. Wow, the Lord works in amazing ways, yes. And so many times it just lines up perfectly. He don't make mistakes. He fulfills prophecy. He fulfills it, and he does it. And we are, I believe, going to be a generation that sees the coming of the Lord.
Oh, you don't have to believe it. You know it. You know, people say I believe it. Gerald believes it, but I not only believe it, I know. Because the Bible says it so. Mm-hmm. I might die before Jesus comes back. But if he uses the 80-year outline, 70 to 80-year outline that he give in Psalm 90, verse 10, 2034, the 80 years will be up. Mm-hmm. So from 34, 11 years. And Brother Ron, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witness every word to be established. And Brother Ron, he had this, the other witness of this that I had never thought about. You know, in the year 2000, everybody thought the world's coming in the year 2000. Hosea, I think 6:2 says after 2 days he will raise us up, mm-hmm. and the third day we will live in his sight. 2,000 years in one day. I don't know why I'm getting choked up. But I believe what they were doing was they was going from Jesus' birth, but the world transformation event was when Jesus died on the cross and rose again. It wasn't when he was born. Mm-hmm. That didn't really change anything until he died and rose again. So if you go from his death and resurrection at 33 years and then go 2,000 years, that's 2,033. Mm-hmm. So there's the second witness to the other witness that I was using in Psalm 90, verse 10. So that leaves 10 years. We know we have 7 years left for the man of sin to confirm the covenant with Israel for 7 years, and we've always called it the tribulation. So we know we have 7 more years, so it's the Battle of Armageddon is not going to take place before 2030. You know, we know because of the 7 years, but within that period of time. And like I was saying, Brother Ron, you know, he come up with the analogy of when Jesus died and rose again 2,000 years from that, and that would be, well, maybe they think maybe he was 2 years old, or maybe even a little older. So
yeah,
somewhere around from 30 to 34, within that time period, would be the Battle of Armageddon.
So we're that close. That means we need to make sure our hearts are right,
amen,
our lives are right.
Amen.
And you eat all of the ham and bacon you can before he comes back, because we're not for sure where he's going before. Amen. All right. Anyways.
Amen.
No, good stuff, good stuff. We have just a few more minutes here on this Friday, and I just want to take this time to say, yes, somebody got that question right. I'm sorry. Dwayne Kidd got the second question right, so he got his name in twice. And what king burned the idolatrous chariots of the sun? Josiah, 2 Kings 23:11. Thank you so much, Miss Gail, for reminding me of that. But we just have a few minutes here, and I just want to, you know, say we're praying for all you pastors. We're praying for all you leaders. We're praying for all the churches around here this weekend, that the glory of God may come and he may show himself strong. He'll flex his bicep and show the church just how good he really is. Amen.
Amen.
And whatever situation you're going through, whatever fiery trial you're facing, he's more than enough. Amen.
Amen.
He's more than enough, and he can do all things. There's nothing that's impossible for him. What's impossible with man is possible with God, and we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I just want to declare over your life that whatever you're facing, it's not that you always just get instantly delivered. Sometimes he's allowing you to go through these things to build you, to develop you,
amen,
to mature you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You don't go through them alone. He's
amen
with you, and he's fighting for you, and he is there walking step by step where you're at, saying, I got you. I got you, son. I got you, daughter. And
amen.
Sometimes there's a prayer of deliverance, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a prayer of let your perfect will be done. And that's not always an easy prayer. And you say, well, Aaron, that's not a prayer. Look at Jesus in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus could have easily prayed, God, deliver me. I don't want this. And actually, he did. If there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
What's he saying? Let your perfect will happen. This is my will. I don't even want to go through this. I don't want to endure the stripes. I don't want to take the beating. I don't want to hang on the cross. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want the crown of thorns on my head. But I know that you have a perfect plan, and that you are with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we learn to trust.
Yeah.
And just as that one song said, I don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but 'tis so sweet.
Right.
To trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah, just like my crooked buddy. Was that my plan? No. And how many times did I pray and ask God to heal me? And no chains. And the thing of it is, the disease that attacked me, I'm pretty certain that I know that God healed me when I was about 10 years old of disease, but my body was still crooked. And it stayed crooked. So I didn't need a healing. I needed a miracle of being straightened up where I look like everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when I was growing up, a lot of emotional problems. The emotional damage was worse than physical, really. And but after I got saved, and when Jesus healed the blind man, they asked him, did this man sin, or did his parents sin, that he be born blind? And Jesus said, no, but that the works of God be made manifest in him. And so did this come on me because I sinned or my parents sinned? No, it didn't. That the works of God be made manifest in him.
Yeah.
I mean, how many little guys with a crooked back, big hump on their back, all that mess, have you ever seen that could carry two buckets of concrete?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a miracle in itself. I'm a walking miracle every day that I'm as
amen
healthy as I am, and as good a shape as I'm in, 76 years old. Now, I don't carry two buckets of concrete anymore.
I don't either.
And but, I mean, that's for a younger guy. My age is actually slowing
God's
me
good,
down.
God's good, ain't he? God's good. Brother Ramsey,
amen.
30 seconds.
Oh, I don't know. Just think, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to be a Christian and be on their way to heaven. I tell you, it blows my mind to think about it today. You're not thinking about eternity. You know, we need to think about eternity because everybody's going to be somewhere eternity from now.
That's
and
right.
So I long to be, I'm like Gerald, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know.
Need to set our sights on things above.
Not on things on the earth, Colossians 3:2.
Yeah. Hannah, 30 seconds.
I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing, how he's pouring out his spirit right now. And I just encourage everybody out there who feels the Holy Spirit moving in their life to not just sit stagnant, but to take action and to respond to that spirit that you're feeling. Because he's drawing you right now, and he wants you to seek him and gather with a body and have a family.
So. That's right. Well, we love you guys. We're going to be back Monday, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.